Thank you very much. We are here to bring you the story behind the music you love and to introduce you to the men who make that music at Orchestra Hall. You'll also get to hear an informal and easy-to-understand discussion of music and its interesting personalities. And what's more, you listening right now have an opportunity to win two main floor tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And today, let's turn to the pages of your symphony scrapbook devoted to that dignified instrument, the trombone. And we have as our guest today Mr. Joseph Bacek, member of the trombone section of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Mr. Bacek, I'm sure our listeners would like to have you identify the selection you played at the opening of this program and perhaps play some more from that composition.
I'd be very happy to. The composition is entitled Morceau Symphonique and is a trombone solo that was written by French organist Alexandre Guilmant.
Trombone is an interesting instrument. I think it's too bad that you fellas sit way in the back of the symphony orchestra when you're on the stage at Orchestra Hall, so a large number of people on the main floor can't see the instrument. I recall seeing a reproduction of a painting not long ago, about in the late 1400s, that shows a player with a trombone in pretty much the form in which you fellows play it today. In other words, the construction of the instrument hasn't changed very much. I think a number of our listeners might like to know something about a playing instrument. You have no valves, no keys whatsoever. So how in the world can you find the right note? What do you have to go by when you pull it out, pull the instrument back, sliding it back? And,
well, as you can see, all that is on the instrument is just the slide, and there are seven positions on the slide. Now, each position lowers the pitch one-half semitone.
In other words, the farther you go,
the lower,
longer an instrument you have, and the deeper the tone.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Well, you have only seven, you say seven positions, and you can play only seven notes.
No, well, we have different series, though. It all depends on which harmonic series we are in. And we play seven notes going down, and then coming back to first position again, we can continue going down again then.
Well, how can you, a listener might say, well, how can you know when you're hitting the right position? Is it a physical thing that you train yourself to know when your arm is out just so long that that's that note?
That's correct. You're going by feel, mostly.
Well, you have to... A trombone player then has to have a very keen sense of pitch, doesn't he?
That's correct.
Well, now, if you slide from a note to note, what's the trick of overcoming a halt between notes as you change your position?
Well, that's one of the difficulties of the trombone. We either get a glissando or, as you call it, a halt. So the trombonist usually has to develop a fine tongue. And there are different articulations or pronunciations that we must execute to get away from either the glissandi or the halt.
In other words, the glissando is out of place in symphony, usually, isn't it?
Usually, yes, although it is used in some special effects.
While in a jazz orchestra, that's quite in place, isn't it?
Yes.
Would you say that the use of the trombone in a jazz orchestra has given a composer who writes music which includes the trombone, some note tricks? Has it enlarged the scope of the
trombone?
Yes,
it has enlarged. Yes, I would say definitely.
Well, would you say that the trombone is, I think you hinted this, a rather difficult instrument to play?
Well, probably not any more difficult than any others. They all present their problems, and...
It's all easy as you know how. You said something about articulation, or... use another word I've forgotten. Now. Was it pronunciation?
Pronunciations of syllables.
Well, now, what, for example?
Well, for attack, a staccato, we use the T-U syllable. And for getting away from glissandi, we have softer syllables, such as D-A-H, a da, or a la pronunciation.
Well, in other words, you're forming the syllable or the sound with your lip and your tongue without audibly pronouncing it.
That's correct, yes. They are pronounced in the chamber of the mouth and then projected through the mouthpiece.
So the tongue and the lips are just as important, or perhaps more important, than the position in which you pull.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, now, I wonder if we could illustrate that, say, from symphonic literature. When I say illustrate, I mean show the effects of it, not necessarily the pronunciation.
All right, I would like to use then from the Brahms.
Good.
From the Brahms fourth, I'll do the chorale.
Your choosing Brahms makes me think of the first symphony, which must be a terribly nervous strain on you trombonists, isn't it? When you have to sit through the
first three
movements before you get into playing. Well, what do you do during that period, except where you have no opportunity to... do you have to moisten the instrument, usually, or warm it up, or...
Well, there is no opportunity to warm the instrument up. There is just one entrance before the high A entrance, which is, I think, what you have reference to.
Yeah.
And the remainder of the time, we just sit there and try to occupy our mind with something just about as far away from Brahms as we can get.
Well, now, when it comes up to that point of your entrance and the conductor is beating time and getting ready to give your cue, what goes on in the minds of a trombonist?
Well, just about three measures before, I would say there was a complete blank.
And you just hope hard that you'll be able to hit it right on the spot. I think listeners of symphony concerts frequently wonder just what the players are thinking about when they're not playing. Are they counting? Are they watching the conductor for the right cue? Or What goes on in their minds, anyway?
Yes, well, it all depends on what entrance it is. Like you had reference to the Browns, that is probably one of the most touchiest because we have such a long time just sitting there waiting, and it seems the longer you wait, just the worse it gets. And other entrances that are probably more difficult are just not so bad because you're playing along and you kind of build into it.
Well, on these programs, I've quoted a lot from my favorite author on... instrumentation of the orchestra works, and that's Berlioz. Perhaps you recollect this passage where he talks about the trombone and said it can chant like a choir of priests. It can threaten, lament, ring a funeral knell, raise a hymn of glory, breathe forth in frantic cries, or sound its dread flourish to awaken the dead or to arouse the living. So he gives the trombone a great deal of credit. Has there been any literature written especially for the trombone, say, concertos?
Well, there have been, but the most recent, probably the newest, is one that has just been discovered that was written by Rimsky-Korsakov. And it was discovered and was written for band. And The score had been brought to this country and published here now. And if I may, I would like to play part of the second movement.
We'd like to have you. A mouthpiece, a very important part of the instrument.
Yes, it is, and that too is very depends on the person, because everyone has their own personal taste.
Well, does that mean that you have to fool around for a while trying to find one that especially suits you?
Yes, very definitely.
And well, now is a trombone a lifelong instrument? I mean, when you get an instrument and you get accustomed to it and you get the mouthpiece, does that mean that you use that for the rest of your playing days?
Well,
or do instruments wear out?
With proper care, it probably would last. It would probably need repair from time to time.
Now, one other minor detail I'm interested in. Now, this, it's made of brass and it slides in and out. Do you have to use any sort of a lubricant?
Yes, we do. We use cold cream and water.
Your own special compound?
Well, it is a regular commercial product that we use.
Well, thanks ever so much, Mr. Bajek, for this interesting demonstration. And now we're glad to send a pair of tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra to Mrs. Thomas Cooley of Chicago for her interesting anecdote. She said that Harold Bauer, the famous pianist, and Claude Debussy, the composer, were intimate friends. However, one subject was always a source of argument between them, it seems. Debussy contended that he wrote more difficult music than any other modern composer and that no one could really play it properly. But Bauer's answer was by playing the most difficult compositions at sight. Finally, Debussy thought he had won the dispute by writing a three-tone chord using the highest and lowest notes on the piano keyboard and one in the middle. However, Bauer played the chord by using one finger of each hand for the low and high notes, and for the middle one, his nose.